This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tiger didn't have it. Phil didn't have it. Rory didn't have it. But some guys did. So obviously round one of the Open Championship is in the books. Teague and I will finish up the show a little bit of golf and some other stuff. But right now, Teague, do a little big three, a little NBA. And this guy has just injected the league with instant extra credibility and unpredictability with the microphone. He's a funny dude, man. He's confident, and he's on one of the expansion teams for called the Enemies. They're 3-1. They're in Oklahoma City this weekend. I'll be out there as well. They're playing Trilogy, and this guy in the mid-2000s was an assassin. I mean, before he got hurt, Gilbert Arenas was an absolute stud, 3-time All-NBA, and he just filled it up and did whatever he wanted offensively. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Gilbert, what's happening, buddy? How you feeling today?
I'm good. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. You've been a great addition to the league. How did Ice Cube convince you to come and play, man? How did he sell it to you?
He actually didn't. I think just his presence of coming, you know, to my podcast gave me the energy to actually say yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because, you know, Cube, I'm from the Valley, 818. So Cube was the Valley's rapper, you know, because we heard he went to Taft High School. So that's who we claim our rapper, like the, you know, Ice Cube is the greatest. You know, so when he came, it was like childhood memories coming back to me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yes. And he didn't even ask me yet.
That's good stuff.
What was the hardest part about getting back into playing shape, I guess is the best way to put it, because some of these guys aren't in playing shape, but they're out there playing. But what was the hardest part getting back out and doing something like this competitively?
Just remembering. I mean, the hardest part is remembering you can't do what you think you can do. I was 260, you know, when I, you know, said I'll play. Oof. So I had to drop all the way to 220 to 215 before I can start actually getting on the court.
That's a lot of chopping, man.
That is. Wait, yeah. Now, I was going to ask you, because that's interesting when you listen to what Charles Barkley just said about Zion Williamson, who's 280.
285.
Yep, and Chuck knew, because Chuck came out of college. He was like 300 pounds. He knew he had to lose some weight, but like at 260, can you play basketball? At 280, is Zion going to be in trouble playing basketball?
I always kept saying that, you know, before when I first seen him, is for his size and weight, he's overweight. Like, you know, college, everyone's boasting like, we've never seen this kind of power and, you know, body, and this body can move. Yeah, because usually they have a weight clause in their contract to say, get down the weight. You know, if right now, if Cousins said, I'm 285, at 6'11", they will say he's fat.
Yeah.
So what makes 285 at 6'6 look attractive?
Because he looks like a D-tackle. Looks like Aaron Donald more than he looks like a basketball player.
You know, so his whole career, starting right now, he's going to have to be on mostly cardio type of workout routine. He can't even touch. He can't even look at a weight.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna buff up. So his whole career, he has to understand, I have to learn how to train cardio during the season. I was working out 3 times a day during season, and I still gained weight.
you got to watch what you eat, Gilbert.
It's not even about watching what you eat. You got to remember, for a basketball player, if you're playing 42 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Stop and go, you're really only doing 1.5 miles.
I got you.
If you're an elite point guard, you're at 1.5 miles. Drew Holiday did 1.7. So imagine if that's only 1.5 miles a game, what are you actually really burning?
I got you.
Nothing. You're not really burning any calories.
No, that's an interesting way to look at it. Never really looked at it quite that way. Gilbert Arenas with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So, Take us back to the mid-2000s. Want to jump around a lot of different things. I want to ask you about Bradley Beal, ask you about John Wall. Your former team, the Wizards, have some tough decisions. Although there's no decision to make with Wall. They already made the decision. They've got to make a decision with Beal. But, I mean, Gilbert, in the mid-2000s, and I called you an assassin coming in, big game, late bucket getter, ultra confident, pull up from anywhere, really unstoppable for a couple of years in those mid-2000s. If you stay healthy, where does Gilbert Arenas finish his career in terms of perception, all-time list? I mean, you got to think about that once in a while, right?
No, I actually really haven't thought about it because, you know, usually when you think about what if, you know, it really kind of messes up the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there thinking about what if I didn't get injured? What if I didn't go in the game? You know, it happens. You know, people get injured. People, you know, play their full careers. You know, at, you know, 25 years old, you know, I was considered one of the elite. You know, so, you know, my career was cut short from, you know, injuries. You know, I had 3 injuries in 14 months on the same knee.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, you know, Gilbert, was it, I know it was 3 injuries. Was it 3 surgeries or was it 2?
Three surgeries.
It was the 3. I didn't know if you had 2 or 3. Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if, had 3 surgeries in 14 months.
You can't handle that as a guard. And now John Wall, it's the Achilles. KD's coming back from that. John Wall, $40-something million a year. Ernie Grunfeld had a long leash, and I like Ernie, but probably too long of a leash to run the Wizards. He's gone. They got to change a lot of stuff. Number one, can John Wall come back and, you know, with a sense of the same burst? Can he ever be remotely the same athlete, do you think?
Yes.
You think so?
And, okay, so this is what perception versus reality. Mm-hmm. Perception says, oh, you know, John Wall tours Achilles. KD to their Achilles. Everyone who tore their Achilles, their careers was cut short. It was never the same. Well, unfortunately, these two players are actually different. They didn't tear their jumping Achilles. Kobe, all of those guys tore their jumping Achilles. John Wall tore his left Achilles, but he's a right foot jumper. So he jumps and dunks with his left hand. So he's not a natural righty. So he jumps like he's a left-handed player.
I've never heard this.
So jumping up and down does not affect John Wall. Same thing with KD. KD tears his right Achilles. Does not stop his explosion because he jumps off of his left foot.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
So these are the only two players who tore the opposite of everything.
Yeah.
Everyone usually tears their jumping leg.
That's crazy.
That's so smart. And
what did Dominique? Which one did Dominique tear? Do you know? Do you even know Dominique Wilkins?
Yeah,
which one did
question.
He tear?
Because he came back okay.
Actually, Dominique tore his right one, but Dominique was a 2 foot jumper.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, Gilbert Arenas knows the game. He was a 2 foot jumper.
Well, I think you know injuries. You had a bunch of injuries, so you know injuries, and it makes it interesting because it's how we think about the NBA now, based on a couple of these guys. John Wall is one, obviously, but more KD. Like, what's his impact going to be? The Nets got to sit and wait for a year before he finally gets there. But we've seen this movement in the NBA that's created, I hope, parity. Do you like that in the NBA?
Yes. Actually, you know, see, this is what, you know, Tiki, in football, you have your friends. You have players you train with.
Yeah, in the offseason.
When they're free agents, you will love them to be on your team. Back then, it didn't happen.
Never. I wanted to play with my brother. We were free agents the same year. I'm like, dude, let's play together. Didn't ever happen.
Owners wouldn't pull those strings for it.
Yeah.
Now players in today's game is taking steps forward. Like, yo, I want to play with this guy. Make it happen. Like, make it happen. So the fact that the new owners, see, it's not the players that's messing up the league.
Yeah.
The new owners is making it better because these new owners are actual basketball fans, not old businessmen. So they're coming in, and they're like, all right, I want you. You want to come? I'll take you, too. What's happening? And then everyone's building these dynasties.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's what, like, the Charlottes, the Milwaukees, those guys, they're going to need luck with draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to always be like that. L.A., Golden State, Chicago, Miami, the New York, Boston, of course, they're going to always have the advantage because those cities are big cities. No one wants to be in a small city.
Except for the Knicks. Except for the Knicks, Gilbert, because nobody wants to go there
And what's so funny is that is the weirdest franchise in history because they do pay players. They just pay the wrong players.
Yeah.
Well, no good players want to take the money.
But people want to be in New York. I just don't know. Sometimes, as an athlete, it's just a little thing. It'd be the simplest things that makes a player leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a true story, but it was told.
No, let's hear it.
That Miami knew LeBron was leaving when they took the cookies off the plane.
What?
Come on.
So this was his.
All right, you got to tell us this. Was this on your podcast? By the way, Gilbert has a podcast, the No Chill Podcast. I've got to start listening to it if you tell stories like this.
I never said it on my podcast.
All right, good. So tell us the story.
A player said, there was always cookies on a plane, LeBron. LeBron loves cookies. That was his thing,
Pat. I didn't think it was supposed for doing that. If anybody, it was Pat.
So everyone's like, the only person who eats cookies on the plane is LeBron. Really, nobody else eats cookies. So LeBron came on the plane, looking for it, like, for sure.
Yeah, he's done. That's funny.
Sometimes it just be the little things that make players leave. It doesn't even be it's most of the time it's not even about the money.
Yeah.
It's usually the atmosphere. When I came into the league, there was no atmosphere. You had to create it. I used to talk to Abe Pollin all the time and talk to Abe about the atmosphere in the locker room. Like, if you want players to train, to be here, you have to spend money. His thing was, well, I'm giving you guys contracts. And I said, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. What do we know about chefs? What do we know about eating and keeping our bodies? We don't know. We just want to play basketball. So you have to outthink us.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, most of us not eating breakfast. When we finish practice and we go, we're getting fast food. That's all we know. Mm-hmm. That's all we know at that point in time. So now we're eating fast food for dinner, probably the same thing. So we're putting trash food in our bodies. But you want great results. If you want great results all the time, you have to make sure you're feeling us good.
Yeah.
Give us a player's lounge. Give us a chef. The player lounge makes players stay longer.
Yeah.
If a player stays longer,
chemistry.
He might want to sit in the gym a little bit longer.
Yeah.
He might want to get a little bit more shots.
Yeah.
So, when you build atmospheres like this, it makes players want to stay there, past practice time instead of just getting the hell out of there. It makes players stay longer. So, like, the Clippers, for the most part, they didn't even have a practice facility. They had to work out the Spectrum Club. So just think about it. What is the mindset of a Clipper?
In and out.
Yep.
I gotta go in. We practice on the special call. I'm home.
Peace.
I'm never gonna do any work outside of the Clipper work.
Yeah.
So you're not building anything. So when players hear stories like that, it keeps them away from franchises.
Okay. And by the way, Gilbert,
good perspective, though.
Yeah, very good. Not to mention, there's the residue of eating properly and maybe doing some extra reps in the gym, but also you just kind of hanging around, getting to know each other and becoming boys even more. And when you do that, that probably manifests itself on the court in terms of better chemistry.
Yeah, usually, players, especially basketball, it's only, 13 of you. You're around each other all the time. Mm-hmm. So that natural chemistry always builds. Like, you're going to have the players that don't like each other, but on the court, the chemistry works anyway because that's the part of it. It's like, I don't like you, but we hate them more.
Yeah.
So we have more of that going on we get together. If you have any, we get together for the betterment of, going against someone every night.
Well, listen, man, I'm going to be out in Oklahoma City this weekend with CBS doing the Big Three. Looking forward to meeting you in person, chopping it up a bit. Really, one of the great players of the 2000s, unstoppable, three-time All-NBA. His enemies, 3-1, taking on Trilogy in Oklahoma City where the Thunder play at the Chesapeake Energy Arena. That's Gilbert Arenas. A lot of salient thoughts right there. Man. A lot of things that we tapped into that we just kind of stumbled on.
Yeah, that's
you
good stuff.
You brought some good stuff.
Good
nice
stuff,
done,
Gilbert.
Buddy.
Appreciate you.
No problem. I didn't even really, we're going against Trilogy?
way to look at the schedule, buddy. I guess it doesn't matter.
What's so funny is because, you know, I got to pick my team, I picked all dominant guys of scoring to offset everyone. So we're already in the championship. We're just playing right now, just getting to know each other, just a feel for the game. Like, I average 7 minutes a game, and we're beating everybody by 10, 15.
All right. Well, there's a long season to go. Don't get too cocky there, buddy.
You're trying out for, positioning yourself for a GM somewhere?
was it Triplett?
Yeah.
So Johnson's team, you see, he has to play every single minute.
Yeah. That's a good point.
He has to play
every single minute. And he's doing
great. I can play seven minutes, and we've been 3-0.
But he's going to win the MVP, though.
Yeah, he's terrible. Joe was slaying it. You think he can still play in the NBA 20 minutes on a good team?
Yes.
I do, too.
He has to be on a team like a team that should pick Joe up is the Lakers.
Yeah.
They need a half court ISO guy that can create buckets in small spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where Joe's always been great at. You know, me and him came in the same draft, so, you know, I got to see a lot of Joe and just to see his game develop. And Lakers half court last 5 minutes, that's Joe's specialty. Mm-hmm. And right now the Lakers don't have that specialty guy.
20,000 points. He did something right. Listen, man, we'll see you in Oklahoma City. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, Gilbert. Appreciate you hopping on, buddy.
No problem.
That was good. I got to listen to that podcast as well.
Yeah, I do.
That was money.
I didn't even think about the jumping off, like the leap leg. It makes so much sense.
I got to be honest. I didn't really think about that either.
Because I'm definitely a left foot leg jumper.
Me too.
Right? When I was a long jumper, triple jumper, I was always like off my left foot. But you know what I mean. But if you're playing basketball.
Yeah, left foot.
It was always my left foot.
Yeah.
Guess where the zipper is on which foot?
My left foot.
That's how it usually is.
Yeah, I hear you. But the point about KD, with that fall away, just the ability to burst and fall away and let it go. I mean, it's his right foot,
yeah,
as he said. So that's good. All right, that was money. We'll get a quick break, a little Jim Harbaugh. We'll finish up how we started, a little Tiger Woods, a little Open Championship, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think of how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can also be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than in the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, it's free. And if it needs replacing, professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We'll hear from Tiger Woods next segment. Tiger pulled back the curtain on his physical well-being. We'll play it for you. We'll react to it. We reacted to Jim Harbaugh's little shade jab at former Buckeyes head coach Urban Meyer. We did that really the first hour. It was a great conversation. And as many great things as Harbaugh's done so far, he's 0-4 against the Buckeyes. He's lost three bowls in a row. And, you know, he's yet to get to the national semifinals. So we're all pumped up to see what he's got this year. Penn State, they got to find a quarterback. The Buckeyes could be different. There's a lot of moving parts. Michigan should be good. And it brings us to this question. And I don't know that we've really asked this question in a while because we really haven't had to. And I want to start with you, Teague. Do you believe that Jim Harbaugh would still be the desired commodity, the desired asset to take over an NFL team when he decides to go back to the league?
It's a good question. So we started this day talking about Jim Harbaugh, the shade that he threw at Urban Meyer because he can't beat him. He's 0-4 against Urban Meyer at Iowa State. So he said, yeah, he's got a good record, but you know what? There's always controversy surrounding him, which is interesting. But it led to, what is Jim Harbaugh at Michigan? I think he's elevated the program, clearly. They were mediocre, middling, before he was there.
Bernie Hoke was not very
good,
and Rich Rod was worse.
46-42, I think the record was. He comes, he's 38-14 over his four seasons. He's won 10 games three times. They've gone to four bowl games, but they're 1-3 in the bowl games. They can't beat Ohio State. They've lost the rivalry matchup to Michigan State as well multiple times. And so it's one of those things like, all right, Jim, you know what, or get off the pot, right, as far as bringing a championship here. But it brings the question, and we hit this also, he's not on the hot seat.
No.
There's no chance he's on the hot
job
seat.
Job for life if
the
he
president
wants it.
Even came out and said, Jim Harbaugh is going to be our head coach.
I think he said for as long as he wants.
For as long as he wants. Yeah. So stop the nonsense.
Yep. Nonsense.
But
okay.
If Jim Harbaugh gets to the point where it's just not working, right? He's not bringing the Big Ten championship like so many people are clamoring for. He's not getting to that college football playoff like we all expected him to after he went, what was it, 11-2 or whatever it was.
In his first year was 10-3.
10-3 in his first year.
Then 8-5, then 10-3,
10-3. Surprised people, right? If he's not doing that and he decides, all right, college just isn't for me. Can't get my guy, can't get my quarterback, whatever it is. I want to go back to the NFL. Mm. Is he still desirable? That's the question that BT asked.
I'm asking.
Now, before he left the NFL, after we knew he was done in San Francisco, there was not a hotter commodity than Jim Harbaugh.
Nope.
I mean, Steve Ross basically fired, but didn't fire his coach, and got on a plane and came to see him. And then when Jim didn't come back with him, he kind of had to hold on to his coach. I mean, it was like owners were doing silly.
Woody Johnson was going to give him a blank check. Jets wanted him to.
Owners were doing silly things. Huh? To get Jim Harbaugh. So 4 years later, after 38 wins at University of Michigan in one of the Power Five conferences, not having the acumen or even luck in some cases, beat your rivals on a consistent basis, is he still as shiny as he was? My answer is no, BT. I think his flappable, consistently ascending, and there's no cliff, because that's what we thought about him for a long time, especially after he got to the San Francisco 49ers, the Super Bowl, and on the cusp of it a couple of times. I think that's gone. I think he feels still good and maybe even close to great, but not the shoe-in, no matter what situation you put him in, because that's how we sold him. No matter where you put him, he's going to win. Whether it's at...
Well, because that's what his resume said.
Exactly.
San Diego, non-scholarship, Stanford, elevated them, went to the 49ers, somehow picked them out of the NFL grave.
That's right.
And now Michigan early on, and then, whatever.
If I'm an NFL team, if you're an NFL owner, or if you're an NFL fan base, are you clamoring for Jim Harbaugh? I think the answer is more no than yes.
It's a fascinating question. Here's my answer. I believe it really depends on the circumstances. And there was a point where it was independent of the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Jim, here's a check.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to scribble down. Whatever you want, come take the job. Whether we're 9-7 looking to go to the Super Bowl, whether we're 3-13 looking to somehow become viable, whatever the situation calls for, Jim, the job is yours if you want it. Carte blanche. Here's where I think I would be very interested in Jim still. Mm-hmm. Still, I'm going to disagree a little bit with you on this. If I'm the owner of a moribund franchise, a directionless franchise, because one thing that I think Jim will have for life is accountability, direction, purpose, and respect. And right away, he's going to communicate that. He's going to pump some oxygen into a lifeless locker room. Penalties will start to erode. A lack of energy, will suddenly be spiked with palpable energy.
Yeah. Attention to detail.
Attention to detail.
Little things
like the kicking game, and you know, your field position, fewer penalties, which as you add up, they aren't little things. They actually equate to big things. But now what offsets that? So my answer is yes, not as much as he was 5 years ago, for sure. But I also now have to factor in the direction of the wave of coaches. They're younger and they're all offensively innovative.
That's a great point.
And he's not young, and he's not incredibly offensively innovated.
Yeah.
So if I've got a dire, like if the Browns didn't show any, if they didn't flash last year, I would have given him a blank check. Come save me. Help. Yeah. Help me.
If they don't go with Freddie Kitchens isn't ready, go get him. Right.
I would have done that.
It's the right situation.
Yeah, I would have. Sure.
I wonder, what do people think? Samters is like, no brainer.
What's he saying?
He's
no,
saying
brainer,
no brainer
that he would or he would not.
He would.
Yeah. I mean, that's, go ahead, Mike, say it.
I mean, I think I agree with you in the sense of like, I'm not getting a carte blanche.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I feel like the issues in San Francisco were as much about the front office as it was about Harbaugh. I know he's not easy to deal with, but I mean, when you win, I mean, a lot of guys aren't easy to deal with. And, you know, Saban talked about it yesterday, how a lot of people don't like him and they have a hard time working with him.
That's
but you know
point.
What? Winners win. And I don't care if you're a pain in the ass or if you're mean or you're not nice. Like, who are we talking about that was getting a lot of flack? Magic Johnson, you know, was getting all this flack for being not nice and calling out people in the front office and everything. And we're like, who cares? I mean, that's what you do to motivate.
Samter, the problem is, and this is a big one, he hasn't won a championship. He didn't win a
he
Super
didn't
Bowl.
Win. He went.
I mean,
no,
he was there. I mean,
he took a team that was struggling and made them great. And then as soon as he left, they sucked
Greg
again.
I blame Greg Roman for not having a Super Bowl.
And you could also blame Kyle Williams. So if he doesn't muff those two punts against your Giants, the Niners are going to win
about the actual Super Bowl that they were in. And Colin Kaepernick was 4 yards away from winning that Super Bowl. And he would have been the Super Bowl MVP, by the way.
Can you imagine that?
They were 4 yards away.
Yep.
And the play calling was horrendous. And obviously Baltimore won that Super Bowl. But what has he won? He hasn't won anything. He hasn't won the Big Ten. He certainly hasn't won a national championship. So, yeah, you could be a jerk and ass if you're Nick Saban because you've won 6 national championships and 5 of them at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
And by the way, it's a little easier when you're the moneymaker at a university to dismiss, not that Nick dismisses the president of Alabama or the AD, but it's different than the head coach GM dynamic in the NFL.
That's right.
You can always silence an educator. Hey, this is my campus. We all know, I don't have to say it. We all know why admissions is, increased 17% since I've been here, or 20, whatever the number, maybe more. Because I've elevated the program back to where it was in the 60s and the 70s. I've made us championship relevant again. That's why I'm worth every penny. So no matter what you espouse, it doesn't matter because I'm the man on campus.
Yeah.
But you get to the GM office and Trent Baalke, we talked about this for years when we first started the show.
For whatever reason. For whatever reason.
Because they're both tough guys to get along with.
I know, but I'm talking about for whatever reason, Jed York sided with Baalke as opposed to Harbaugh.
That was a really bad move. You're right. And that's well phrased for whatever reason. Because there was nothing tangible that would point them in that direction.
And it put the 49ers back in a spiral that they're still trying to get out of.
Chip Kelly came in.
Who was the offensive line coach?
Tom Sula. Yeah, Tom Sula.
Yeah, I mean.
The gym coach, Tom Sula. That's not right. I mean, he's a lifelong NFL guy.
Yeah, of course. But
yeah,
still,
I was a very uninspiring hire.
He was not a head coach.
No, he was not. So the bottom line is the luster, the shine has died down a bit. I would still hire him for sure.
I probably would too. It's just not as sure. It's not as sure of a thing in my mind.
That's fair.
It used to be.
Nor is he writing the rules the way he would have once back in the day.
Yeah.
I want this, 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 and this. I'll give you this and this, but this and this I'm not flexible on. He's kind of lost that privilege, that right.
Right.
That power. All right, coming up, Tiger Woods spoke. And he said something so interesting and so profound, you don't want to miss this. We'll get to it after Axe Update, which is right now. The Blast as well, Axe coming at you. But we have to talk a little more Tiger Woods, because at this rate, we won't be talking much about Tiger into the weekend. Certainly really nothing to recap on Monday, because at this point, I mean, it's probably 2080 he even makes the cut. What is the cut line? I mean, hold on.
He's way at the bottom, though.
I know he is,
he's
but
like
to be
way
fair.
Down there.
A lot of guys shot +5, +. It's not like he's got to come back with a 65.
No, no, no,
No. He just doesn't have that in him. You and I did not expect much this week. We said it all week leading up to the Open Championship. And he spoke after the round, and I want to play something for you for sure. Two items about his health that are pretty interesting. Let's see. The projected cut, though, before we do that. Leader, I said minus five. You got a minus four up there. You got 12 minus threes right now. It's over for the day. So all the scores are official. And then you go to the bottom. Keep going. Just keep that finger on the arrow. Keep going. Almost. There we go. There's David Duval. All right, so Duval at plus 20. let's see. Yeah, he's not me. I mean, Tiger's tied for 144th. And yeah. That's
not good.
I'm going to take quite the effort. I don't think, do they do a projected cut after a day? They have to. Although maybe they do it early in round two.
Yeah, I think they do it early in round two.
Maybe. I don't see that.
Rory, who was the favorite coming in because of his previous 61.
At the age of 16.
I know. At Royal Portrush, Northern Ireland, the betting favorite, the local favorite. He's won 51st on the list.
Phil had nothing, so maybe Phil wants to lose 6 more pounds tonight. Maybe that'll help. I mean,
dude, how hard is it to go to like a major that you're favored at, that everybody's rooting for you, and your day is literally over after your first two swings?
I'll tell you what. I mean, I can't answer that because I'm nowhere near a pro golfer, but
think about that.
I'm going to give him a little credit because I watched a lot of the round.
Yeah, no, he grinded. He grinded.
And I think he got a 7 on 18.
Yeah.
So two holes, 1 and 18, that's 15 shots.
He had a 7 on 18. He had a
8 on 1.
He had an 8 on 1, but he also had a double or a triple.
A 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
On a par 3 or par 4, whatever it was.
Maybe it was 6 on.
He had a rough day.
On like 16 as well.
But he didn't quit. Now, that would have been really disconcerting. I mean, it's one thing, because a lot of guys do quit. I mean, they won't actually walk off the course. Some guys will WD, and that's the weak way out.
Yeah.
But you could tell some guys stopped grinding. He was still grinding. I mean, if he would have stopped grinding in Northern Ireland, that would have been really a problem. You know, he's got to fight for his people, and he's got to drop something relatively low tomorrow just to see the weekend. Problem is, you know, the wind and the rain is a variable. 30 minutes it's sunny, 30 minutes it's raining sideways. How do you shoot a 65 in 4.5 hours when you get 9 different weather patterns?
You can't. Unless you just get really lucky and you tee off in that bubble of weather. Which is
generally later, because that's when the winds generally die down in Ireland. All right, let's play this for you guys. Tiger Woods, how he feels after round one of the Open Championship.
I'm sore, sore. I'm not 24 anymore. Life changes, life moves on, and I can't devote the hours to practice like I used to. You know, stand on the range, hit balls for 4 or 5 hours, go play 36, come back, run 4 or 5 miles, then go to the gym. Those days are gone, okay? So I have to be realistic about, you know, my expectations. And
what he's telling us there without actually imploring us to do it, but he's giving us a nudge in that direction.
Interesting.
We've got to begin latching on to his mindset. If he's acknowledging where he is, then Tiger Woods fans need to do the same thing.
Just think about what he said. And I've heard this before, just talking with, you know, since some of his caddies and people who have been around Tiger, like he truly was a grinder.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
To his detriment.
I agree.
To his detriment.
Not like I'm just, you know, I'm doing this and you know, I'm going to do better than the next guy. He would work out like a football player works out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And be committed to a job like he was an entrepreneur on a startup. Right. He never was home. Like, he was always on the course, always in the gym. Waking up at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, he can't do it anymore. And I think what's worse, and you hit on this, maybe it was last week or maybe you said it at the beginning of this week, I don't know if he wants to do it anymore.
Yeah, the way I framed it, just for those who may have missed it, we'll have another cut from Tiger too, it's pretty interesting. But the way I framed it, it certainly wasn't a diss. It was just an acknowledgement that, you know, when you don't believe that you can attain something anymore that you once had.
Mm-hmm.
Due to circumstances, health, marriage, illness, sickness, whatever it might be, all the variables that life throws at you, and then you actually get there, it's got to be such a relief that human nature just say, it's time to exhale, and I got to relax a little bit here.
Yeah, his perspective's changed.
Yeah, and if he's okay with it, then we need to be okay with it.
I think you're right.
You know, one more from Tiger, then we'll get the blast. Tiger, if he will always battle pain moving forward.
It's just the way it is. It's just Father Time and and some procedures that I've had over the time. Just the way it's going to be. As I said, one of the reasons why I'm playing less tournaments this year is that I can hopefully prolong my career and be out here for a little bit longer.
See, the it's funny because it seems like a smart move. Let me play fewer. He went a little bit too hard last year, mm-hmm. a little bit too overzealous, which I understand. He was just thrilled to be healthy, and he wanted to play. I get that. But in being overly selective in what he plays, he'll never be sharp.
Yeah.
So if he's not sharp for the few main events he's playing, you know, it almost equates to not playing at all.
You know what it sounds like? Huh. We mentioned this briefly with Wimbledon. Sounds like Serena.
Yeah, a little bit.
Serena, she gets to the finals. She gets to the plays in the majors or in the Grand Slams in tennis.
Yeah.
But she's like a little rusty. She's a little like raw because she's not playing in the little events.
A little off. All right, we'll see what Tiger does tomorrow, but not expected a ton. Maybe a little bounce back. Tomorrow I bet against him today. Not with any sort of pride. I didn't want to see him do poorly.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think he'd play well. I think I might. I want to see what the over-under is on a score tomorrow. I would say it's probably going to be a 71 or a 71.5. They got to bump it up a stroke. And hey, it doesn't look physically right. I might put a little coin on him to actually play better tomorrow. I think he'll play better tomorrow, but not great. Blast. Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, we're going to shove this down your throat as much as we can. Tiki's favorite topic, Madden 20. The team ratings list the Eagles and the Cowboys as the highest rated teams.
Honestly, I think that's right. When you think at their off seasons and the defensive on the Cowboys, the Eagles with Carson Wentz, who was an MVP-level player before he got hurt, and hopefully with a year under his belt of health, relatively, I should say. I think that's about right. But again, it's a video game, so who cares?
I could get behind that as well. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a defense. You got to have certain staples. And other teams are incredibly interesting, like the Bears, but I want to see Trubisky in year three. I mean, I think he's going to be okay, but I've got to see more growth. I'm okay with that as well. I would agree. Danny Ainge on Al Horford going to the rival Sixers says, quote, it's a different era. Is Horford going to Philly from Boston okay with you? Yeah, I mean, obviously I have no emotional attachment to this, but I certainly understand what Danny Ainge is saying. I mean, imagine if Moses Malone walked in that locker room, Boston's locker room
different
in the
world,
80s,
man.
Or Larry Bird, who actually threw down several times with Dr. J.
Danny Ainge is trying to galvanize his fan base now against Al Horford. But come on, the money is crazy, and it's a different world, mm-hmm. right? You could go play for your arch rival the next year if you wanted to in the NBA because of the way the player movement is. I'm okay with Al Horford going to a rival. I think he's actually smart.
2016 fourth overall pick, Dragan Bender, back to Europe following Nikola Mirotic, who signed in Spain. Would you like to see NBA teams play the best European teams? I need a little clarity here. At what point? During the summer? Like an exhibition kind of thing?
Yeah.
Not an interruption of the season?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Like friendlies? Talking about the in-season?
You're talking about like friendlies?
In-season,
like
they, no. No
like
interest.
Like they do in soccer, like a friendly? I mean.
not in season. I don't want to see
that. I don't think so. I think it would be too disruptive.
Yeah.
In season. But I would like to see this in the off seasons as opposed to like preseason basketball. That would be interesting.
Doesn't move me entirely. I'm not saying I wouldn't flip it on if it was on, but I'm not moving mountains.
Do you watch
together.
Preseason basketball?
Yeah. I watch summer league basketball.
I watch summer league more than I watch preseason basketball.
I'm not sitting there. I mean, I'm not watching every second, but I check in. You know I do. All right, Padres, Chris Paddock takes a no-no into the eighth inning. Padres, the Mets recently got theirs, somewhat recently got theirs with Johan. Padres, the only team in Major League Baseball without a no-no. How do you explain this? Well,
it's crazy.
First of all, they haven't been around as long as many of the teams. I mean, that's where you start. I think the hideous uniforms they had in the 70s partially contributes to it because they just look bad. If you don't look good, you don't play well.
Yeah.
And somewhat facetious there. But they were just bad for years. They were bad.
Yeah.
But they did have some good – I mean, Mark Langston was there who had some filthy stuff for a while. Just one of those quirky – I can't explain it. It's just quirky. What do you want me to say?
Point, you look good. You feel good. You feel good. You play good. You play good. You get paid good.
Mm-hmm. Texas A&M, they land the number one quarterback recruit in 2020. So, Jimbo, pouncing.
Look,
how much pressure on him to produce this year?
I think it's still tepid. It is Texas A&M, right?
Tepid? It's a little past tepid.
I mean, it's not like, so if you're putting it on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the fire to produce? I'd say it's probably like 6 or 7. He's still got like a year or so.
I would agree with that.
Before people start saying, Jimbo, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I used to say, I don't think Tepid is a 6 or 7, so I agree
yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Tepid to me is like a 3.
He was 9-4 last year.
Yeah.
They were okay, but it's not his guys.
No. Nope.
I mean, this happened like late in this in the offseason. So,
Jimbo.
2 years, and if he's not hitting like 10, 11 wins, competing for the conference championship, people are going to start screaming for his head.
And it's not a bad start by getting the number one quarterback in 2020.
Right.
There you go.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
And by the way, as we all know, that's half the battle.
Oh, yeah.
Get the stars.
Yeah.
If you can't get the stars, you have no chance.
Or a system.
Or a system.
Or a system.
I don't know about a system, though.
His system's hard to define.
It is.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, there's other systems that are easy to identify, easy to put. His system is, I guess that's a compliment.
It is.
He's adaptable.
And he's won.
And he's won.
Several different styles.
Pardon me. T, good show today, man. Really good stuff on Harbaugh, a little golf. We'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully Tiger plays better. Same with Phil and Rory. Enjoy your Thursday. Peace. We'll see you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.